What's up, everybody? You know what it is, Hell's Kitchen. It is our food competition weekly. Name of this episode is Josh. And guess what? He's in the studio with us. We about to talk it all down. Let's go. What's up, everybody? You know what it is. Another episode of Hell's Kitchen. Title of this episode is Josh. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? He's in the studio. We about to talk it all down. Let's go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
This is for Robin.
Right.
You yeah, spot. Come on, Lem. Get in
no,
it.
No. Oh, man. I'll just do
yes!
one.
Yes!
I got
yes!
one.
We'll take it. We will take it.
I got one. I just
one's
finger.
All you need. One's all you need.
Yeah, one's it. I'll just twirl it like this. Like this. Not the two, just the one. Oh, man. I think that's a real thing, though. So it's going to be on the tagline. Talk it all down.
Talk it all down. Can't wait.
That first one was... I don't know what's wrong with me, man. I think what it is, I don't know. I'm not even going to explain it. I'm just going to roll with it, you know, because...
Because you're a professional.
That's how we do. And it's Hell's Kitchen.
That's right.
And we got guests.
Absolutely.
And meatballs.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like you gave Josh no alternative but to bring food with your tweet at him tonight.
I mean, that was definitely purposeful.
Yep.
Definitely purposeful. On purpose, ladies and gentlemen. What's up? It's your boy Lim Gonzalez here, and super excited to be here. And you can find me always at The Poet Saint all day, every day. Next to me is the radiant, the incomparable, Ashley on camera. What's up, girl?
Oh, yeah. I was looking for a little bit more. Hey, guys. How are you? I wish you could be in studio with us to smell these meatballs, which are currently still wrapped in saran wrap.
Yeah.
But they smell amazing in there.
They still smell good.
They're going to be awesome, and I can feel it. If you want to talk to me about meatballs or whatever, find me on the internet at Ashley on camera.
Yeah, man. And he keeps showing up. I tell him not to, but, you know, just somehow they let him in the doors. Ladies and gentlemen, Frank Moran.
Sort of like a bad penny. Turn up yet again to ruin Lem's night. That's my only goal for doing the show. Ladies and gentlemen, you can follow me or not, because Lem doesn't, at Happy Go Jackie.
Absolutely. You know, at least I'm you know, I'm staying true.
Absolutely.
I stay true to, you know, how I am. Ladies and gentlemen, he's been here before and backed by popular demand. He is here, taking the place of our lovely Robin, who's on assignment right now. Ladies and gentlemen, drum roll, please.
Don't knock the meatballs.
Right. Josh Travato.
Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, man.
Fourth time. I can't believe it.
Fourth time.
I've never been invited anywhere four times before. I don't think I'll be invited to Hell's Kitchen for a fourth time either. So we'll see what happens next, right?
Man, I'm glad you're here. And I'm looking slim and trim.
I
walked in. I was like, who is that guy?
It's
love
good to
it.
Know. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm just, I'm working on myself. I have a whole new transition that I'm working my way into. So,
okay.
You know, I got to make sure that I'm healthy, I'm happy, and I'm safe.
That's all that matters. Good. That's all good. Got to be safe out there.
Got to be safe.
Got to be safe. You got to know that chef life.
Oh, my God.
In the streets, safe. I heard.
I wasn't safe anywhere.
It goes down. let's talk about this episode that was really all about you.
Are we going to jump right into talking? I mean, things.
Yeah. Well, I want to smell them.
Oh, my God, they're still warm.
I know.
For real.
So I was going to preface, but thank you, Frank. I really was going to motion to him as I was talking for him to get going on the surface.
This is what I mean.
Right. I was already doing that. Like, that was subliminal. But yeah, you brought meatballs, so I want to have some. So,
yeah, of course.
So let's get it going. There's forks and there's plates.
Well, you know, you guys are family now, and it's a tradition to have meatballs with your family, some gravy, you know.
Dope. Is that an Italian thing?
It's an Italian thing for sure.
Okay,
you know,
dope.
Meatballs was probably the first thing I ever learned how to make.
Really?
My grandfather had his own catering company in Delhi, in Philly. This was his staple.
Okay.
Is it a secret recipe, or what are we going to get it?
Everything's a secret.
Is it a secret?
But I'll tell you.
I'll tell you the secret.
So, yeah, you know, it's time to enjoy some... I'm just going to put it on a fork.
Oh, my gosh, look at the size of those meatballs.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Could have been so bad.
could have passed.
So did he have this?
So I do like a 50% pork and beef.
Uh-huh.
You could do veal and pork. I mean, I love meatballs. Soak, what I do is I soak brioche with some like half and half cream, Parmesan cheese, you know.
Oh, yeah, there's some cheese. What's that? I want some cheese.
So not cleanse approved.
Yeah, right. This is, I got to be extra careful here.
Did your grandfather have this like written down somewhere? Or you did he just.
I feel like.
No.
Somebody has the recipe somewhere.
No, I'm just.
My grandfather wasn't much on, I guess, writing things down. He was a repetition man, you know? It's kind of.
Yeah, put your napkin on your lap.
That's how I learned, you know? That's how I learned. I learned from doing. So.
Yum. Oh my gosh, the favorite part of the evening where we all get to eat on camera.
Yes.
Yes. Finally got some food up in here.
I'm going to not put the extra naughty on mine because I'm all set with breaking all the rules right now.
I mean, should we like get into it like a pack?
I mean, we could toast like air toast and then try it all together.
Sure.
And so on
air toasting.
Oh my
three,
goodness.
One, two, three, Hell's Kitchen.
To the meatballs.
Hey.
oh man!
Trash.
You know I should have knew I did it the whole thing. There we go.
Party foul.
2 second rule. It's all good.
Party foul.
All those listeners on the podcast. You know, there's all those ASMR like podcasts that people listen to just to hear sounds like this, like the sounds of people
you need more
chewing
gravy
a meatball.
Too. You know, you gotta dip
like
it in the gravy.
Dipping
we're
in
family.
Gravy.
Stick your fork in there.
Yo, this is like on point.
I'm amazed.
Like for real. I'm super happy that you're here.
They gotta be nice and tender, you know?
Wearing a white sweater.
Yeah.
Eating.
What's an extra dot on that shirt?
You know? Right. True.
Nothing.
That's so good.
That's really good. That's really good, Josh. Thank you so much. ladies and gentlemen.
You helped me hostage to let me know. Watching on Twitter, it's like, yeah, you're going to bring food, right, Josh?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Shout out to everyone who follows Josh.
Right. You will be bringing food, or you can't come. That's how that works.
Eat that meatball so fast. Mine's giant.
It's a meatball. It's not a meatball sandwich. Like, it's just like a meatball.
To be honest,
like,
it's a one-bite kind of thing. That's why I dropped it. You know, I've never eaten a meatball in 2 bites in my life. So. Right.
I'm not taking that challenge.
Right.
I'm not
doing that. I didn't do that, but I was able to get it down pretty fast.
As I'm getting one.
Yeah, get in there, Lem.
Yeah, I'm going to get another one. Yay.
Don't worry, Steve.
So before we start breaking down the episode, of course, you get to watch it. What was it like just before we started talking about it all to go back and watch this? It's like a time capsule.
Well, it's like, thank God that they recorded it and captured all that happened so I can actually enjoy it. Because I didn't enjoy it very much when I was there, I think. You know? But I did. I had fun, you know? I mean, you know things are going to happen. Things are going to come up. People are going to clash. Personalities are not going to get along. I mean, I went into this knowing that maybe I am a little different. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe my personality, you know, isn't the easiest to latch onto in a competition. You know, I've never gone into a battle and was like, you know.
A battle.
Have you gone into battle?
Every day's a battle, Ashley.
Watching it this time, since you're not omniscient, were the things that you saw other people saying that you didn't realize was being said at the time?
I think I realized everything that was going on at the time because they're shouting at me, they're yelling at me, you know, during the episode. It's not like they were nice to me and then, you know, they go to the dorms.
And talk about you.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty clear how they felt about me from the beginning. But, you know, I don't have any hatred or animosity towards anyone. It's a competition. If that's who I was as a person, yeah, I probably would have came at people extra hard. But, you know, nothing is worth, I guess, my integrity.
Sure.
So.
Sure. So the episode does start with you getting switched over that we saw last week over to the red team. Mm-hmm. And then immediately you and Elise go at it. And I'm like, why would you take on Elise? Like,
Elise
of all people.
It's like
prison rules, man. You got to go after the toughest one. Knock it down.
I think you're right.
And I'm assuming that, you know, I know that you guys are in the same dorm, but you know, you're separate kitchens. But you had to know that, you know, the type of person she was. Strong personality at some degree. Maybe not fully.
I had an idea.
Okay. So when you come at her, like, what is your philosophy? Are you just really trying to, stamp you around?
My philosophy from the beginning was as soon as I got to the red team, I mean, it was clear that she didn't want me there. Nobody else. She didn't even know me at that point. Like, we never worked together. She only...
Yeah, she came out hot. I didn't understand if you guys had history or something together.
No, I never spoke to her. Like, there wasn't much dialogue or conversation between us. So that's why when I got there, it was like, no, like, oh, shoot, this is news to me. I didn't know that you hated me this much.
Right.
And then when I get there, listen, when I'm new on the team, I understand how difficult it is to be the newcomer and to be, you know, kind of the oddball. So I just wanted a meeting. I just wanted to go in there. I wanted to have a conversation with them all, clean slate, start over. Listen, I know that I'm the guy on the red team, but maybe we could work together and, you know, have the same common goal of winning because you're a team first.
So your motive for having this, you know, you wanted to kind of have a team meeting.
Yeah.
So your motive was just basically like, hey, let's kind of talk about this. How we can, you know, gel as a team and kind of go from there.
Sure. But then, you know, I think my emotions kind of started to blend in and then I got a little pissed off because, you know, you're going to bash me and you're going to come after me. And you can only take so much as a person before it starts to get to you. I'm from New Jersey. My blood came out warm, you know.
Yeah.
So I did my best to try to stay cool. But then I think, you know, there was a point where you can only take so much abuse from someone before I didn't get angry, but I guess I just said the way I felt.
Uh-huh.
I was just honest. I felt as though that I was being bullied. So, you know, when somebody comes at you so hard for no reason, it just seems a little, you know, bully-esque.
Bully-esque. Yeah, you called her out. You said you're being a bully.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of said that.
Sure.
And, you know, does everybody stand for this? Do you speak for everybody? And I feel like, you know, she was like the lioness.
Yeah, like,
and this is like her den,
pride.
Right?
Yeah.
And so you come in and you're an intruder, kind of, and she's like protecting, like, oh no, this is how we go down, you know, over here. So don't try to bring that mess, kind of come to us. And I see what you were trying to do, but I feel like with Elise, she just took it immediately the wrong way, and that's why this happened.
Yeah, it was literally like on and off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she just shut right off. And, you know, I think once somebody shuts off, you really can't get through to them. There's not much you can say unless you roll over. And I'm not one to roll over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'll scratch, but I ain't rolling over, you know?
Okay.
Well, like Justin, I think it was, like, already bad when last episode, when he put him over to Josh over the red team, and she's like, no!
And during this, it's like, you know, my emotions, like, I'm a sensitive guy, you know? I mean,
no.
I love my mom.
No. Not you, Josh. Come on.
You know, so I do tend to take everything a little personal. So I tend to defend myself.
It was surprising to me to see all the red team suddenly be, like, kind of silent when just, I think the episode before, somebody else had been like, you're being a bully, Elise, and they were all like, yeah, you are. And but then this time when you were like, you're being a bully, I feel like the red team got a little bit quiet. And
I was surprised that, because I really thought somebody would at least be like, at least you kind of are.
Yeah.
And no one said anything. And I honestly think because of the whole, they were kind of banding together because they were the red team and you're the oddball.
Yeah. And they
odd man.
Had just tasted oddball. Their first.
Yeah. Meatball.
They just sort of tasted their first bite of team camaraderie,
sure.
I think it was a really delicate time to come into a new team, whoever you might have been.
I think, I think it mattered who you were.
I believe that. You know, I come from an athletic realm. You know, I love sports. Everything has an athletic feel to it. So
you're about to put your hand in marinara, so just watch that. Here,
well,
give me that.
Good thing there's meatballs left. And a little Parmesan cheese, you know.
Just
I got myself a sub. My own sub.
Right.
So I guess I forget what we were talking about.
Sports. How you're sports.
I got all meatballs, and I'm thinking about meatball subs and chicken parm. So, no, I'm a sports guy, and so I take everything that way. You know, everything is, there's not anger, it's just passion. It's like, there's things that you have to do on a team. There's ways to do it. There's strategy. And, you know, I tried to go in there with my own strategy, and oof.
Didn't work.
No, because there were six other strategies. You know, you can tell when you get on a team when they're not one. It's like the bad news bears.
Well, and like you said, they had just tasted, you know, some semblance of victory, you know, by winning the previous challenge. So they're you're kind of on an upswing.
Sure.
And then you come in and it's kind of, to them, they see as disruptive. Even though Robin wasn't the best teammate on their team. She didn't really do really that well for them. But still, regardless, you know, you're coming over and they've kind of tasted that and they don't want that to go away. Michelle, it looked like she tried to talk some sense into you.
She did.
Did you kind of take what she was saying?
I definitely listen when people talk, but if I feel like maybe they're not listening, I can get a little frustrated, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What's your sign?
I'm a Virgo.
Oh, okay, Virgo. Sure enough.
I'm also a dragon, so I'm a Chinese zodiac kind of guy, so...
Chinese zodiac.
Right.
There it is. What
I'm
did
a
you
Virgo
say?
Dragon.
Virgo dragon.
Google it.
Because I was wondering, like, on the show, when somebody goes to the other team, it seems more often than not they are not welcome. And I wonder if that's really
it's
the best thing. Way.
It was very hard both times because I did it twice.
Yeah.
And man, I really feel like it was the end both times. You just can't do that. You can't. Somebody, they already don't want you. You're already the outcast. It's like switching survivor teams. It's like, yeah, okay, see you later.
Well, I think also part of it is usually the person that is going to the other team, it's because they were, instead of getting eliminated, that's what they were going over
right.
for.
Sure. Yes.
So they need to prove themselves.
Sure.
So already the person getting switched over has a chip on their shoulder. They're like, I have to prove myself. So they may go a little extra. And so the rest of the team that they've gone to is like, yo, tone it down. This is how we do things.
100%.
But you're on survival mode, you know, when you're going over there. So all you're thinking is like, I have to show out. Or I'm going home.
Right. Or even if you're the person that volunteers, which they do sometimes as well.
Sometimes.
That also feel like that's something like, well, I got to step up because Gordon, I mean, I stepped up and Gordon's looking
thing.
At me.
It's the same thing because you feel like he's going to be looking at you either way for some leadership capability, for you to just perform, what have you. So, yeah, it's always a sticky situation when someone goes over.
I couldn't have said it better. Yeah. It's literally, I think, the most intense part of Hell's Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're in limbo.
Right.
You're just out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, purgatory. Speaking
of, because during like the dinner service, I mean, you're all supposed to be working together as a team to get stuff up to the pass. But is it so easy to box somebody out and make them feel like 100%. You can't do anything?
But even in the challenge, I feel like even before we get to the dinner service, I feel like they put a target on you.
I was gone. I was gone as soon as Ramsey said, "Give me that jacket." Uh-huh. It was because if you see my face, like that was a real expression. It was like, "Oh man, I'm gone." Yeah, like I can't just send me home now. You know, it's like. Because I don't want to get eaten alive. Yeah. That's not the goal.
Right.
You know, the goal is to just do my best and to, obviously you want to win.
Of course.
You know, I've never done anything not trying to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I think success comes in all different, you know, packages and sizes. And I really do believe that I did find success being on there.
The fire wasn't successful.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that?
That's a great segue.
Yeah.
look at you, man.
So... sometimes I shine. So there was a challenge where people had to pair up and one person on each team cooked alone. I was not surprised, at least was that one person.
Oh, yeah.
I called that.
I thought about it and I was like, right.
Yeah, let her
Even if I got 2 points on my dish, I'd still be going home.
Exactly. and so you have to cook fish over an open fire with the cedar or hickory plank.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Had you ever done that before?
Yeah, I've done a lot of cooking with wood and smoking things. I mean, it's one of my favorite things is to, you know, add some smoke to, you know, some food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love barbecue. Barbecue is one of my favorite things. I lived in North Carolina for 4 years, so I really kind of, you know, I indulged in barbecue and smoking.
So, barbecue sauce is tangier on the East Coast.
It is.
And in North Carolina, they actually have West Coast and East Coast. You know, vinegar based and then
well versed.
Ketchup based. Yeah,
well versed.
Well versed.
So what happened with this fire? Because it looked like it was going out, or that was the appearance.
Sure.
And then you dump all these coals on there, which are not hot.
No.
And then the fire ends up going out completely.
Explain
to us, sir.
So there was no fire. It's hard to cook without fire.
Okay, right.
And there's no hot coals. Nobody's turning the heat on to to connect the fire, to start the fire. So I'm like, what's going on? Nobody's doing anything. There's no fire. So I just take it into my, I'm already going home. I might as well try to get them, you know, some fire. So, you know, I just dumped the coals on, and all you had to do was just, you know, turn it on a little bit, turn the heat on, and it caught. You saw how much it caught.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an electric situation? For some reason, I thought it was
like
a
totally.
Yeah, fire. I didn't think that it was electric at all. So it was electric.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Got it. So I guess my question to you is, did you smother the fire out, or was it already out? Because it looked like
was going out.
Okay.
I probably smothered it.
Smothered it. Okay.
Sure.
Because they 100%. Really put that on you.
Yeah, right? Of course they did. Yeah.
Hardcore.
But I didn't see Barbie with a pack of matches. Like, you know.
But sort of your style throughout this season anyway has been a quick recovery. And I think the same thing with that fire. We saw you got it together. Everybody got their stuff cooked.
Yeah. And that was the thing. I just, my goal was to win. Because obviously, if you win, nobody hates you until you lose.
Right.
So, I mean, if I won, that's how I stayed under the radar. You know, I got a point for my team. You know, I did all I could.
Mm-hmm.
I cooked the fish pretty perfectly. in the fire. So and then I got thrown into the same fire that right. I put out.
you had with Dana Barramundi.
Yeah, that's right.
Barramundi. I've never heard of that fish.
I don't know.
It's
that
funny.
I
what is that?
So I actually, when I was 19, I was a chef in Australia, and their their fish of of their country is pretty much Barramundi, and I never heard of it before I went there. It's a nice, like, thick, meaty, flaky fish. I would compare it to maybe like a mix between a mahi-mahi and a cod.
Oh, halibut. Is that a cod? Kind of okay.
Like, it's a nice, thick fish. Mm-hmm. But it is delicate, and it can dry out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you have to be careful when you're cooking on an open flame.
Absolutely.
But it was nice. I mean, that was the first time I ever cooked barramundi on an open flame, but it was cool to kind of, like, bring me back to... when I went from a boy to a man as a chef in Australia.
Over there in Australia.
Oh, man.
Down under. You did get the point. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, the other team got the point as well, but you did. And you went and went to Van, who was cooking by himself on the blue team. So it did come down to there was a tie. And so it ended up, the blue team ended up taking it because they went dish for dish.
Can we just do a tangent for a second? Like, Jared's explanation of ties. Where it's like kissing your sister.
Oh, gosh.
And they kept on hammering that. I'm like, whoa.
I'm worried about him.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, that guy, I'm wondering if we're going to have him on. Hopefully, I want to have him on the show. And matter of fact, I think we're going to have him on hopefully soon. I'm going to check. But he...
This episode is a zinger for
this
him.
Dude,
try being there, okay?
But
try being there. I think I'm the only crazy person. And, like, it's like they're all making me feel crazy.
The stuff that he says, it's like, it's almost like, when you have a child. Well, I don't have a child.
Now I'm confused.
But listen, like, wait. I'm going to get there.
Yeah, okay. That's a good one.
Hold on.
It's a slow walk.
Right. Frank. Okay, let me go back. Children. that children say the darndest things.
Yeah. You got there.
That's what I'm trying to get there. So it's like they just say whatever, and it's just like, okay. And I feel like that's him. Like, he just says, like, the whole kissing the sister, and I'm like, I don't want to picture that, yeah. Number one.
Three times in a row.
Terrible thing. And he just kept going, like you said, he kept going back to it. He's like, oh, come
I
on.
I think he told her to get come over here.
Yeah, he's like, come over on over here. There's another tie. And I'm like, why would you correlate those things together?
I guess that's locker room talk. I don't know.
Cool locker room is that?
I don't know.
Like, what?
I have no idea.
That's not the locker room I want. But okay, since you got to bring up a tangent, I get to bring up one too, which is I don't know what's happening with the production and the cheese factor, but this is the fourth competition in a row where I've been like, what is this setup? Are they going to have to kill their own meat? Is that what's going to happen? And then it's just cedar blocks.
Everything.
I agree.
With the livestock in the front yard, I'm like, okay, they're going to have to kill their own chicken, and that's going to get PETA really upset. And and then it's just...
It is a popular Hell's Kitchen bait and switch, though, where they will bring everything out all these little animals, and then they're like, no, it's not really this.
Yeah,
it's
raspberries.
This.
Like, you're like, what? Yeah.
I think it's lame. Let's fix it.
I think everything you do, it's just, it's like the bull and the red, and then the seeing eye, and it's not there. Where is it? It's like, you don't know what to expect.
I feel like it's Hell's Kitchen, number one, and I feel like they like doing things over the top. Like, what was it? Wasn't it just like their last episode or their episode before that when you had the big jackpot thing?
Yeah.
And it was like, but it wasn't really necessary. Yeah. But, and then what was before that?
Oh, yeah. The stacking cups. Yeah. Yeah. When you were watching the stacking cups and then the kid just leaves, where you're all like... Yeah. What is this?
Yeah. I don't think he said a boo. I was like,
not one word.
Like, give me something.
So there was no editing in that. He really didn't say anything.
I guess I like, No, he didn't say anything. He was busy.
He was with
the cups. He had stuff to stack.
But but the cups had nothing to do with the challenge itself.
Bizarre. I mean, it could have been,
No.
it could be because this is 17th season. So congratulations to that. But do you just run out of things?
I will say this. I believe this. I think Chef Ramsay just loves to have fun. I think he just gets a kick out of playing with people.
Okay.
And, and doing whatever he wants. And imagine, I love it. Like, I enjoy it. I do.
Imagine those pitch sessions, like, in the writer's room. He's like, okay, so here's the pitch. Right. We got a bunch of farm animals. And then we're going to have him play with wood.
Yeah. We're going to make him think we're going to, like, slay them all. And we're going to have... would.
I literally, I was so taken aback that I actually rewound.
Yeah.
Because I was like, did I miss something? Like, because I was like, no, they're not cooking the farm animals. Yeah. No, they're not doing anything with the farm animals. This is really about wood.
And fish.
And fish that was there in the thing with on over ice.
Yeah.
Rant over, but that's it.
Well, we're standing there. We don't know what to expect. You know, we're looking into this pen, and we're like, oh, because I thought that we were going to have to cook with straw or hay or something, or, you know, because he just never knows.
You just never know.
You never know. He could fly in a helicopter and say, I was just kidding about the animals.
Right.
Hop on.
Right. Like, okay. Well, I guess that's for the contestants. I think that's probably good because then you don't know what to expect.
It's a mind thing.
So your reactions are genuine because when you're kind of like, what? And then you see all these things and then they go into the one-on-ones and you're like, I don't know what to expect, you know, that kind of thing. I think it's genuine as opposed to being forced or you're like, okay, take two, you know, type thing.
Yeah.
So I guess I can appreciate that. But yes, to some degree, it also is kind of crazy.
Kind of crazy. It is. Anyway.
We do get a little background on the phrase, Tyra's like kissing your sister.
Oh, let's dive into this live chat.
This is a thing?
Live chat is happening
when
right now.
When was I going to get homework on this, guys? Come on.
I mean, you know, it just depends on how we feel.
You keep looking over here. I'm looking at you guys looking over here, and I'm thinking I'm crazy.
The unpopularity of ties in American sports is reflected in the saying, a tie is like kissing your sister. The earliest known use of the phrase was by Navy football coach Eddie Erdalitz in 1953.
Thanks, Dylan.
Dylan Jackson.
Locker room talk.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is locker room talk, apparently.
Yeah.
Very, very literal.
But I feel, I will not disagree with that, but I also feel like, how many people actually know that expression? And so, like, if you're hearing it now, you're like, what is this?
It's definitely an expression, but it's cool to know that it came from Jared, so now everybody's, like, weirded out by it. It's just a funny thing. If I said it, it's like, oh, he plays hockey. He's a hockey player.
It's hockey.
It's cool. Jared's like, oh, man. It's like he's talking about, like, killing his
But his track record, and I think that's what we're going with, is that he's saying some crazy stuff.
Yeah. But thanks, Dylan.
Yeah,
look at you go, Dylan.
That was actually dope. That was actually dope.
That's cool.
And then James says, pretty ratchet expression. Right. Go James. Yeah, absolutely.
That didn't seem that enthusiastic.
Shout out, though. It is Chef Ramsay's birthday today.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Shout out to that. Yeah. Happy birthday,
Chef
Gordon
Ramsay. You sent him a gift.
Chef. Mm-hmm.
I sent him some meatballs, actually.
Oh, really?
From Josh.
Oh, interesting.
Package up my balls and send them to him.
There you go. Uber Eats is going to pick this up and deliver it right over.
Deliver it right over. So because of the tie, gave it to the blue team. So you're now on the red team. So you are losing. And as a result, you have the privilege to shovel manure
at
this ranch. Let's talk about that. That seemed not fun.
No, it was not fun at all. But it was interesting, to say the least. I mean, I've dealt with a lot of shit in my life, but that was the first time I've had to shovel it.
But I feel like
there was some other stuff going on that you had to deal with.
Yeah, I'm dealing with, you know, that shit, you know, the other shit, Elise, Amanda. It's a lot of shit going on.
It felt like it just started even from, like, right after the challenge that they're sitting down, they're talking to you, and you're like, just tell me once, and then let's just move on.
It
was just, like, rolling downhill from that point.
That's all I wanted. Like, if you don't like me, I only need to know one time that you don't like me. I'll remember. You know, I only need to know one time what to do. Or it was the repetition, because I can't take that. That's a lot. You know, you got it from the red team. They all, you know, gave it to me, and then I'm getting it from the red team. But the red team, the blue team only gave it to me once. You know, it's like, here it is. Boom. It was a little petty for me, I think, on the red team.
I see. Dealing with that.
Yeah.
You're not used to that.
I'm not a petty guy. You know, it's kind of, I'm cut and dry.
I have a theory that they kind of used you as, like, another thing for them to bond on.
And that's okay.
You know,
kind
of draw them closer together by having a common enemy. Sorry,
I believe that.
But, you know?
It was a host. I was a host.
You were also a dude in a female's, you know, on a women's team, basically. So it was
easy
to separate.
I totally get it. Like, I mean, I didn't go into it thinking, oh, I was... You know, oh, I got this now.
To be welcome with open arms.
Yeah.
There was a point when you guys were shoveling that there was some arguing going on. Arguing going on a lot, you know, beef back and forth. But it looked like you were not, it appeared that you were not trying to help them. And they were having issue because it was getting heavy for them. And they were like, yo, we need your help. And you're like, you need to work better type thing. Was that exactly what it was?
No. Now, so the way I did it, because I'm all about efficiency.
Sure.
If we have a lot to do, I want to do it the easiest possible, fastest way to get it done. So my technique was to pile the crap in a bucket and then put it in the barrel. So you don't have to carry it. You know, it's faster. I got five by the time they got one. So I told them to do it this way, nicely, but nothing's nice, right? And I just tried to explain it. And then I guess I got to the point where the bickering kind of got to me. And, you know, I was like, I did help you, you know? I mean, I offered help. This is how I could help you with efficiency. And then...
So you put the poo in the bucket and then you hoist the bucket on the truck?
Well, because... basically, it was about 40 feet. You had to go from the pile of crap to the truck.
And if you had just the wheelbarrow, how would you get the stuff up
exactly
there?
So you couldn't. So the way I saw it was, is you're gonna put it in the bucket, put it in the, you know, the barrel, and then you just take the bucket out of the barrel and lift it easily. It's just easy.
So just instead of carrying it, you're just putting it in the wheelbarrow, rolling it down, and then hoisting it up.
Yeah, I played Gizmos and Gadgets when I was a kid. You know?
Got it.
So basically, instead of shoveling twice.
Sure.
Yeah, it's one time, very easy. Two people, boom.
And so they didn't want to take on your technique.
My side did. I had Barbie, Dana, and Jennifer, and they were very intelligent. I enjoyed working with Jennifer and Dana. Actually, they were my only allies that I could have possibly had on the red team. Mm-hmm. I really like them. I think they're great, and I think they're both really great chefs.
I do too. Jennifer's my silent horse.
Silent horse.
Silent horse.
Okay. Hey. It's the first time I've heard that.
No, I said that last time, didn't I?
Oh, you did?
Like sea biscuits. Oh, okay.
She's my sea biscuit.
Sea biscuit.
Silent horse. Carry on.
I'm the silent horse.
Still trying to figure out the
sea biscuit is Tobey Maguire, and silent is just because I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It was just added. Right.
So it's an Ashley thing.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Because I've heard like dark horses.
Right.
I think that's maybe what I mean.
That's what I was like, dark horse? But you were like, no, it's silent. I say it all the time. Silent horse.
She's silent and she's sneaky.
She's sneaky.
Sneaky ninja.
She's my ninja. I wrote a book about it.
Mr. Ed with laryngitis.
Say that again.
What was that, Steve?
Oh, was that like a more of a Trojan horse? Or?
Oh, that could also work, but...
Oh, that's a silent horse.
But I think it's actually a dark horse, and now I know, and we'll try to use it accurately.
I wasn't going to bust you out. I just wanted to make sure, clarification.
Thank
silent,
you.
That's
Thanks.
What you meant? Okay, cool. Then that's what it's going to be, silent.
Silent.
Expressions start every day, every place in the world. And this is the start of Silent Horse, right?
Silent Horse. You heard it first here at Hell's Kitchen After Show. Remember that.
Exclusive.
Exclusive. Boom.
AfterBuzz TV exclusive.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm going to tweet that later. all right, so let's get into dinner service. Benjamin, super annoying. He said we 80,000 times.
He said that before, because like this time they really hammered it.
Yeah.
Parlez-vous français?
Was he messing with us? Was he messing with us?
No, okay, so I'll give it to you.
Please.
Because there's a lot.
I will preface this, but I've heard chefs in previous seasons say that.
Yeah.
That, you know, but it seemed like he was way over the top. I don't know if it was editing, but...
No. I don't think he says yes the whole time.
Oh,
he
really?
Didn't say yes once.
Oh,
I'm a yes. Okay. You know,
that's just for that service or in general?
I think that the kitchen that he works in his mind, they speak French. So he just says we.
Okay.
And to be honest, when you're training, like Chef Ramsay, I bet you Chef Ramsay, he learned in France, you know? He learned, was trained in France. So he had to learn a menu in French without speaking the language, which is one of the most hardest things you could ever, you know, come across as a chef.
Okay.
So I'm sure Chef Ramsay said we a million times in his life as well. It just wasn't my culture. Hmm. It wasn't my training. Right. But it depends on Benjamin's training. It could be bull. You know, it could be something that he's made up. But it's also a legit training. Like, people train in France and they say oui.
Okay,
it's
but
classic. It's classic.
But I love they were saying like America.
Yeah, so I get
you. Why are you? What are you doing?
He was trying too hard, I think.
I think that's what it was, I feel like the previous chefs that's done it, same thing. They're just trying to impress a little bit, you know. And I've experience, and it's kind of like showing like without
100%.
Like I've trained in France, so I'm gonna say oui when you ask me something,
or I read a book in, you know, English about France.
Yeah, stop it. So it obviously was annoying, because it was annoying to me as a viewer.
It was annoying.
So there's an issue with the fish on your end, overlooking the fish. Something's going on with the fish.
I don't remember. I was on garnish. Mm-hmm. that
It was overcooking.
Oh,
of the
I'm
fish.
Sorry. Okay, the fry. Yeah, that's right. The fried
yes.
fish
on the bar food.
So I asked for help. There was a lot going on. Mm-hmm. You know, I couldn't get help from anybody. I felt so uncomfortable, just trying to like do my thing. You know, because your mind is, oh man, if you're trying to keep it
right
while it's being lost, it's a very difficult. It's a game.
Absolutely.
You know, I wanted to stay. You know. Kind of in my zone and have my feet on the ground, but it was every time I tried, I felt like somebody kind of swept something under like the rug and yeah. pulled it from me. So it was, you know, I mean, I did my best and the help that I got, it wasn't helpful.
But mm-hmm. again, it was a quick recovery after the fry situation. I think that
so.
Ship around pretty quickly.
I tried. Once everybody kind of got out of the way and helped me a little bit by doing nothing.
Do you help in that situation? How do you help if you're like on the
To be honest, station? Yelling doesn't work at any. You know, I've never screamed at someone and they were like better. Uh-huh. You know, I've never you know rattled someone's cage and then they came out on top.
Well, it's Chef just, Ramsay, you can't tell him that.
No, but that's different because he's earned that right. Okay. He's earned that respect.
You're saying you personally.
I'm saying contestants. I'm saying when okay. another contestant speaks to another contestant, that right. what are you trying to get? You're not getting somebody's best. If mm-hmm. anything, you're getting frustration and adding fire
sure.
to a situation. So there was no logic. I don't think the ones that were trying to help me had any logic in the situation. They were trying to just point fingers because in the end, if you have somebody out on a raft that can potentially go home, mm. you want to stay. Ah, see you later.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's Survivor.
It's a competition.
You play.
Exactly. You have to do it. And I feel like we were saying earlier, that you were kind of the target. Since you went over there.
Sure.
So I mean,
since I got on the show. Since I was the last one to enter the room.
Oh, yeah, that too. There was a moment where it did look like you were just completely like flustered yeah. and you just couldn't get it together and was looking for stuff. And then you had the garnish in your hand. Yeah. What was that actually?
It was the carrot and turnip for the beef Wellington. Uh-huh. It does take a minute and a half to cook. It really does. It's a quick mm-hmm. cook. But... Man, I didn't know what hand was in which hand or what arm was on which leg. You know, it was,
right.
there was so much going on, not to mention Ramsay wasn't even there to yell at me yet.
He said it wasn't even there yet. But he got to you.
He did. But you know what? It was, there really wasn't much he could do for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's done everything that he possibly could for me. You know.
When he gives you the boot and you're sitting there in the back, how long were you in the back before you said, like, I gotta go back out?
Ooh. I paced for a while. Like, I'm not one to be told to go sit in a corner and wait. Like, I've never been good at that.
Virgo.
You know, it's like, go in the corner and wait for what, when, where, who, how? You know, so I couldn't take it. So I'm in the booth and I'm like, you know, I need validation. I need confirmation. I need somebody to tell me. You're either allowed to come back and finish, because I'm going to finish strong. I'm going to try. I go down swinging. You know, I'm there to the last round. You know, Mick would have to cut my eye a couple of times. You know, that's just how I am. It's the way I was raised. Never give up.
Is that why you went back into the kitchen once you were kicked out?
I couldn't take it. I couldn't take the way it felt because, you know, I've failed, and I'm going to go up for elimination. I'm gone, right? Mm. So it's either I'm gone and Chef Ramsay's going to have to tell me that I'm gone and you're going to tell me that I'm gone now because I can't handle the way it feels to not know, mm-hmm. or I'm going to come back in the kitchen and try to earn my keep. That was my logic. I'm either in or I'm out.
Did you think he was going to let you back in? Did you think you were going to like win him over in that moment?
I really don't know. I really don't know. I think I just, I thought that I wasn't satisfied with where I was.
At that time.
And whatever else happens is awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, unless he told me to go back.
Right.
And then I'm like, oh, man.
And I have seen that people have done what you've done, what you did, and he let him back in.
Okay, so there's a chance.
It has happened.
And I don't blame you at all for trying that, because
what do you have to lose? Yeah.
No,
he's already kicked
you
out.
I have something to gain. It's
exactly.
Like, you know, it's assurance.
Absolutely.
And he's kicked you out of the kitchen already on this season with the, when you went to go feed Paige. Was it Paige's patron name?
But he kept me out of the kitchen.
Oh, well,
he kind of nudged me and gave me a reward.
Eat all of that.
I mean, come on, man. I mean, she's not punching me, right?
Yeah. That did seem kind of cool.
It was awesome.
Especially when she started feeding you.
She's amazing.
You
She's
were
a good
like,
person.
Yeah, you look like you were in heaven.
I was. I loved it. I enjoyed it. And I knew, I guess I had a feeling what was coming, you know, mm-hmm. because that my team was already kind of, you know, halfway for my head. And
right.
But I'm going to enjoy it. I had fun. I enjoyed my time there. Mm-hmm. Every moment that I was there, I wanted to make sure that I enjoyed it.
Did you learn anything? Did you learn like any new techniques or?
Oh no, I learned more about life than you know than anything else. Mm-hmm. I go into situations and really just look to learn about life. There's nothing else that I need to learn other than life.
Back to the last episode when you got placed over on the blue team, the red team, the blue team felt like they kind of it seemed like they turned against you when you were doing prep and they kind of took offense to what you said. Was what they said taken in the wrong context?
So here's the thing. You know, I'm on my feet 3 hours a day, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I earned my right to be able to do that. You know, I worked my butt off. I mean, I would commute 6 hours a day to New York City and back, living in Jersey. I mean, I took public transportation for 6 hours, you know, for 4 months. I mean, I worked as a chef in Australia for 16, 17 hours a day. In New York, 16 hours a day, you know, head chef of a restaurant, having my own catering company. I'm like, okay, I'm my own boss. You know, Josh, you're not going to have to go and do this. Or,
right.
You know, there's ways to do it. I mean, I was working for celebrities, which is great. You know, it's the opportunity is different. My hard work isn't hard labor, I guess, in the sense. And they didn't like that. They didn't like that because they there's a misconception between, you know, hard work and hard labor. Just because I'm not hard labor doesn't mean I'm not working hard.
Mm.
And I think that they misunderstood that. And then Jared had something to say, and you know.
Of course.
But I'm a jokester too, you know. I don't have time for negativity. I don't. I don't appreciate it, and I might make a joke and piss somebody off.
I get it. Well, I'm sad that you're not going to be on the show.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
I was hoping that you were going to last a little longer, and especially with the fact that he kind of gave you the opportunity to go into the other team, kind of see what would happen, but. You know, at the mercies of that. But I'm glad that, like you said, you learned. You took some things from it. You don't 100%. Regret your time on the show. And
thank you.
You know, you're only working 3 hours a day.
Well, now I'm managing a restaurant. So now I'm looking to work 3 hours a day. Again,
right.
Or on movie sets.
Yeah,
or,
exactly.
You know, I mean, I audition a lot. And, you know, there's other things that I want to do in my life.
Sure.
Because I feel like life is not just about what you do. It's that doesn't define you. There's so much, you know, that I want to experience in this mm-hmm. world.
Quick thing is like when you were cooking the season, Ramsey or the rest of the team would be kind of on you for like taking your time with stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like that's got to be the way to make sure it doesn't get sent back. But is that a hard thing to do in that environment?
Oh, yes. Okay. So everything's timed and temperature, right? You know, everything is 2 minutes, 1 minute. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we're the watch because I haven't been on the line in 7 years before. You know, going back.
It's
a long time to not be on the line, and mm-hmm. timing is everything, and temperature, and you know. So I'm riding a bike without air. You know, there's no air in my tires, and I'm trying to ride a bike, and with Chef Ramsey over your shoulder, you know, I feel like 2 minutes definitely doesn't feel like 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really intense. It's totally intense.
Absolutely.
And I'm trying to come up for air while being pushed down. It's you know, it was a really intense thing, but. I was able to do that cold, and that just showed me that I could really do anything, mm-hmm. you know, because I was going into this realizing what I was coming in with. You know, it's like not training for a fighting match, and you're fighting the champ.
Right.
It's like if Conor McGregor didn't train for Mayweather, yeah. you know, it's like, or vice versa. So, like, that was my thing. I'm going into a fight kind of just on what I used to know.
Did you? did they ever replace your watch?
No, my watch is still...
No, seriously?
I'm sure Chef Ramsey knows that my watch is not it's not working, but...
Was it an Apple Watch? It looked like an Apple Watch to me.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what... I forget what...
I don't think it was an Apple Watch.
It was not an Apple Watch.
No.
He would never do that.
Yeah.
Plus, I ripped it off my hand because I'm in the moment. It's whatever Chef Ramsey wants.
Yeah,
shit. Yeah, you want my watch?
Yeah,
you want my shirt?
Yeah,
you want my jacket? You want... Whatever.
So
you know,
once you ripped
yours.
Off your hand, then it was free game.
He knew at that point, you know, he could do what he wanted with it.
Got it.
But production afterwards, after shooting's done, they're like, Josh, sorry about that. We'll get you another watch. Nothing.
No.
Wow.
Hell's Kitchen. It's Hell's Kitchen.
They've you know, they're amazing to work with, but maybe they just don't know what time it is.
On that note, man, appreciate you coming, man.
Thank you for having me,
here.
Guys.
Absolutely. Four times. Yes. Cool. But yeah, you know, you have to get on the show again so we can have you come back.
Oh my God. Yeah. As a host.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to see what's up with MasterChef Junior.
There you go. There you go.
You don't yell around the kids.
Exactly.
You don't yell around the kids. Hit me up, Chef.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's been our show. We want to thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, everyone that was in the live chat. We appreciate your comments. Make sure you continue the conversation once you see this on YouTube. And let Josh know how you feel about him. Send him some love. You know, but he's amazing. I've been your host, Lim Gonzalez. You can find me always at The Poet Saint all day, every day. You can also check out my website, stayonthemic.com. Ashley, where you at?
Everybody, find me online at Ashley on Camera. Let's talk about everything and anything. And, you know, your weird analogies that you might have. Silent horse is happening. We're going to make
silent
it
horse. Hashtag. Hashtag silent horse.
We can talk it all down on Twitter and Instagram.
Talk it all down.
At Happy Go Jackie. Let's do it.
Not talk it out.
Josh, where can they find you, man?
You can find me on Instagrizzle at Josh Travato for real, and at Twitter at Josh Travato. So say hello. Try to be nice. If you're not nice, I'm still gonna be nice.
That's how it is. World peace over here.
God bless.
World peace and meatballs.
Yeah.
I think meatballs create world peace.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There it is. Until next week, we'll see y'all. Peace.
Thank you. Bye, Mom.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff. We would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Silence. See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.